Motion to approve the agenda?
Yeah, so moved.
Your second?
Second.
All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Public comment, anybody here from the public care to speak? Seeing no one willing to take the stand. Let's go on to the approval of minutes, May 13th. Is there any additions, deletions, corrections?
None.
If not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Your second? All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? None? CEO?
Just quick update, we completed the preliminary audit work in May. Everything's looking good thus far. The auditors will be back in the first week of August to do the actual fiscal year end work. So, and we do have other things in process with regard to the audit. So there's the actuarial report that will be completed for the retirement protection plan. So that'll be completed as well as, there's also an actuarial that's done on the retired directors, the benefits that those were grandfathered in on. So those are in play. And we will be doing the new CEO introduction and blessing on the employment agreement at 5 o'clock. And that's all I have for tonight.
Where did you end up on salary?
215.
No car?
No car. It's got some moving expenses in it, but otherwise the standard.
Standard
benefits. Mm-hmm.
Good. LPMP leasing update, sorry, page 7. Any highlights in this to discuss or lowlights?
Steven's been doing some work with some potential lease opportunities, and so Stephen just wanted to give a quick update on what you've been doing.
I've been working with Dr. Thomas from Cohen Mush. Their lease is up for renewal, but they're interested in moving into a bigger space. So I've been working with him to see if they want to move into some of the vacant suites over where we have, to see if they want to combine them into a bigger spot over there. And in addition to that, there are other interested parties that are interested in doing the same thing.
How big is their space now?
It's about 1,650.
So they might take two units, is that the thing?
Yeah, and there are about three in a row there that are vacant,
right.
All 800 to 1,000 square feet. So combining two would be 1,800 to 2,000 square feet.
And we also have the marketing broker that's working on it as well.
That's a pretty good lease, right? As a percentage of space.
Yeah.
So if you do it outside the broker, do you have to still pay the broker?
If we do it ourselves, no. If he brings somebody to the table, yes. And we do have another interested party that's been hounding for maybe about a year, but he's just wanted to come in dirt cheap and just not playing that right now. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no reason to.
That's all I have on the LPMP.
Good. Then we have the financial officer's report on page 6. Got the leasing stuff again. Sorry, I'm over that. Now the financial statements starting at 8. Yeah, I'm starting to stumble my way through 8 and 9.
We look like we're going to come in really well under budget. We've done better on our investment side of things. It was a little conservative this year, not knowing exactly how the sale of the bonds and that would come out as favorably as they have. There will be $1 million that we will be bringing to the board that was approved at the program committee today for additional grant funding that will essentially utilize the balance of our $3.5 million budget for the year on the district side. And the proposal or the grant application is for replenishing the homelessness initiative collective fund that originally was $2 million was put into a couple
go ahead.
So with that anticipation that it would be approved, if it was approved by the board, so we end up at zero balance for funds?
For the grant funding.
Okay, for
so funding.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll be about right on for the grant budget for the year.
And since we underestimated how much we were going to get in investment income, do we know what would be the carryover of that?
Well, we actually did better on it this year than I projected. So I'm still going somewhat conservative in the next year, but I think we're going to be balancing out to where I think we'll either be kind of breaking even on those investments, or I think we're going to be probably 1.2 to 1.5 million on the investments next year.
So we on the I'm looking at the P&L because we're right up against the final month here,
right?
Which is great. And so we exceeded income over budget by $1.8 million, and most of that is from
most of that's on the interest income on the investment account. So.
That's great.
Yeah. So there's the interest component in that, and then there's also a gain component on the sale of the bonds. That's actually recognizing that from the period that we purchased 5 years ago.
So you recognize all the income in this year?
Time those are being sold, yeah. And we're recognizing it.
Well.
Yeah, so we were transitioning out of those higher coupon bonds and going to a lower coupon bond so that we wouldn't have the significant loss on the sale, or you know, offsetting. We were getting good interest, but offsetting on the sale.
Yeah. Great. So blew the top off of debt income, nicely done.
Yeah. A lot of with the direct expenses is because we haven't had certain staff expenses that we had projected for.
Good.
The 5235, I'm still trying to understand some of these different line items.
What page are
you? Page 11 of 38. 5235, director stipend expense. So is that, did we go over because of the fact that we just had additional board members come on board and it wasn't?
No, actually it wasn't budgeted. Mm-hmm. You see under the budget column.
Because
right. the budget was already set last year before the stipend came into effect. So
the stipend is fairly new then?
Yeah, it just began in August of last year.
Okay. Thank you.
So we do have a budget set toward that in the next fiscal
right.
year.
Yeah, I'm just kind of surprising to see that zero column in there.
Right.
Have you budgeted for the CMO position?
In the new year, there is a budget for COO position.
But that's still an open
question. Conservative, yes. So I'm conservative on that side in case it does go a separate COO. Also, line item 5270 on page 12, near the top, the election fees expense. I had no idea what to guess with the zone elections as well as the expansion initiative that was on the ballot. So I overestimated on my budget for the year. So we did just get the bill in from LAFCO. The total is $190,000 and I had estimated $300,000
and some odd.
Nice. So that's coming in. My savings on that missed it by a long shot. But in talking with LAFCO, they weren't able to give me any real good guidance how to estimate it, so.
Wrong in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good place to miss.
And then the East Valley office, the 6,400, we'd estimated more expense if we were to have, you know, set up a complete office there. We've just been working with the satellite office that's $550 rent, with just some minor other expenses there.
5224, retired board medical expense. What is that?
So the board.
So we have certain board members, retired board members, that were grandfathered into a deal when they left the board, retired from the board. They had medical or insurance benefits for life. So we do have a couple of them are the supples that remain on that. I think we're down to three.
And then Laura Cousins
still third. Living. Yeah.
So it's Duke Cousins. Back in the 70s or 60, you know, that was what they got. They got health insurance for life.
Right.
And the wealthiest people I know.
No, in the supple's defense, they contributed millions of dollars to the hospital and whatever, but they still like that check.
And Rhoda Cousins is not doing bad either.
Actually, you know, to that point, she just recently passed.
I did know that.
Yes.
I know that my daughter informed me of it.
So with that in mind, we're down to two, I believe.
So those were the grandfather.
And board member and spouse.
Okay. So sorry, it doesn't apply to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be surprised.
Duke Cousin was another amazing human being who made a tremendous amount of money. And it was totally disabled. I mean, his legs, he had polio. And so he was barely functional from the waist down, walking. But he was critical in negotiating the lease. He was a cop for a while in Santa Monica. Now we're going back to the 40s and 50s. And he started to buy crappy real estate in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He he did amazingly, and he was very generous to the hospital as well. His wife and his picture are down in the lobby there, and those people are more than $1 million. They were, I think it was five, and then we had to hit them get there. And so they're pretty generous to the hospital. But anyways, just, that's the Cousins there. May she rest in peace. I think we adjourned a meeting in her honor.
We did.
Yeah, that's good. We didn't do that for us. Alright, check register, you want to go to that? I mean, it's pretty fast. Last call is about to pass. Any big receivables there? Anything on last call is that you want to draw to our attention? Other than that, it's a cash cow.
Just briefly on page 22, the property tax receipts. Looks like we're going to exceed. I'm anticipating exceeding our projection of $6.6 million. As of May, we were ahead of the game about $132,000. And we already have received $1.1 million or so, I think, of the.
June.
Or did that all come in?
I think that was all in May.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know.
I think there's a second one.
So sometimes you get little checks and sometimes you get big checks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, so in May, June, and also November, December are when the biggest chunks come in and the tax bills are due.
You're correct. I think it was about 1.4 we got in. We've already received this month.
Yeah. So it's that second big batch that we get from May and June.
The county gets it, holds it for a month or two, and passes it over. But that's pretty steady, and it's all
right.
A formula. Right. Good. There's deposit detail for Las Palmas. There's a healthcare district, and they see anything that embarrasses them on there.
Well, one thing that I was noticing, speaking of embarrassing, is when I was looking at these checks that were issued, I said, God, mine's a big check. You know, way down on 15422, but that was for 2 months. So is it possible to put on there 2 months or something like that to give a little bit of detail so it doesn't stand out that I got this?
I mean, we can manually do that if we think about to remember
to do two checks,
but
two checks, but just put on there afterwards my name, like 2 months or something like that.
So, but what would you consider too much, though?
I guess she said usually $500 is the
2 months. I think she said 2 months.
Not too much.
Well, but I mean, what I'm asking is, what would she?
Oh, what number did you draw?
Because if I see 700, I think that exceeds the monthly amount.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see what you're saying. But.
So if it exceeds the monthly amount, then it just kind of catches my attention.
Okay.
And otherwise, if it's 200, I'm not going to question it. If Mark is getting 200, 400, you know, I'm not going to question it. But if I see 700, why did he get 700? You know, in this case, it was me. You know.
Okay. Put in there April and May stipend.
Yeah. I know it's a little thing, but just.
Okay. Any other things there anyone has questions about?
Remind me again, what's SD or IMA?
That's our insurance, our liability and property insurance. So that's the annual premium.
Yep.
That's $43,000 on check number 15450.
And like on check for 15451 for Alejandro Espinosa, I know that was probably for that trip that we took to Fresno, for that trip.
Some of it, and then there's other expenses.
So after his name, maybe you could put reimbursement, so it doesn't look like if he got that. Can you just, would that
so be? What you're looking at under name is actually the name of the vendor.
No, well, in this case, it was the vendor was Alejandro, because right. It was reimbursed.
Right.
So,
and those are always going to be reimbursements on the check register, mm-hmm. separate from payroll.
But that's how it would be listed on
you
that.
So,
you would have to create a column, you can conceivably do this, that had a memo section.
Well, and actually, we do. We can show that, because we put in a memo when we entered the invoice. So.
What
that can be
for?
Like multiple invoices or multiple reimbursement sheets.
Drove everybody up to some conference.
Okay, so who's
yeah. You picked up the hotel.
I said,
yeah. And in some cases, it's buying supplies for the NEOP program or the Ready, Set, Swim.
But it is, so those checks, just for everybody's benefit here who hasn't lived here as long. Mm-hmm. So when you're signing checks, attached is that person's expense account.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can flip through it and you can say, hey, I want to see that. Mm-hmm. And he'll hand you Alejandro's expense account. You see everything associated with it.
And whoever's signing the checks, and it's always a one or two directors, when we get the new CEO on, we'll have CEO as a check signer as well, but always looking at the backup and verifying what we're approving. And signing for.
So don't be afraid to, when you're signing a check, to flip into it, and if you have any questions, ask.
Yeah.
I mean, I do this all the time, and I ask three questions of things I already know.
And you can certainly, on any of those, you can ask if you'd like to see any of the backup for those payments.
So. It doesn't catch my attention unless it's a big amount.
And it's tied to your name?
No, any big amount. But in that case, it was a big amount because it's more than what's allowed per month.
Yeah.
And in this case, the Alejandro one, I thought, that's a big amount. And so, I just kind of thought, I know it's probably for good reason because whoever signed it looked at it, but So I guess in this case, if anybody wants to see the documentation, they can see it.
Literally, the public can see it.
Yeah.
They can say, hey, I want to see the backup on check number XYZ. And if it's not your personal medical information, we pretty much got to show them here.
I mean,
he drove a bunch of directors up to a meeting.
Any of these checks and payments are open to you and the public. So.
Good. Anything for that? Great questions, Matt. Let's see what else we got. So that's credit card purchases, and then check register for Las Palmas Medical Plaza. All pretty much the same stuff we do every month. Anything on those? No. Do you want us to adopt the financial statements or move on to the RPP?
Maybe we can just do them the next two pages together and do it all.
The retirement protection plan in there is falling slowly.
Yeah, so declining a little bit. I keep thinking that there's going to be people retiring. One of these days, there's going to be more, I think. But
someone was showing me a list of the people. I mean, these people, that 114 people have been there a long time.
A long time. I mean, I attribute to the organization and, you know, they're been there serving well.
Mostly to them, what you find in the hospital is that those people who are at the bedside delivering the service are really good and really helpful, and they love their work. Mm-hmm. And it's a, I'm glad I don't have to do
it. And it's in dietary, it's in central supply, it's in housekeeping.
Yep.
It's in all the basic services. Yeah. I'm sure that's a serious concentration of people there. They take pride in being with the hospital.
Right. And the good thing here too is that our cash balance is $4.9 million roughly, and our principal balance for all the participants is $4.2 million, so we're about $700,000 above that, which actually should also help with our actuarial valuation for the net pension liability.
If it cleared out tomorrow, what happens to the delta? Just goes back on the general fund.
That would come back over to the general fund.
We, as we were changing everything up, put some money in there.
And we put about $3.4 million in a couple of years ago.
When the board was expanding and the district was going, and I was going, man, these people have hung with us. We got to fill this pot. And we moved it then. And I think it was a good move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And timing in the market was genius.
Yeah.
Totally by accident.
Yeah.
But that made up the $700,000 probably. It's just what happened in the market.
Yeah, because we've been getting good return on that investment.
And you just live comfortably knowing that these people who've been here so long, who stuck with us through everything thick and thin, are going to be fine in retirement.
So there's couple of things to point out too. We really haven't talked too much about, but the looking at the numbers there of participants, the second line item vested, no longer employed by a hospital, 60. Those have left the hospital, but they have not requested any disbursement of their funds. So for whatever reason,
are they aware of it?
Well, we send out annual statements,
and they don't come back.
Well, we do get some back, but not all. So at some point, you know, we will, you know, take a look at doing some kind of an investigative process to see if we can track down those folks. If not, we will probably go to like an unclaimed property process through the state. But for now, we're maintaining those as monies in the account that are there. And like I say, the majority of those that we send out, we do not get any kind of return notices. So, and we do periodically, all of a sudden, get somebody that calls and says, I got this money with this. What is this about? And what can I do with it? So,
if I'm one of those 60 and I pass away, do my beneficiaries? Do they get some kind of a lump sum or something, or?
Well, if they have beneficiary on file for a record for that, then yes, they could claim. And actually, we did have one of those this past year that a parent had passed that was a former employee that And so with that process, then they can request those funds. We just need to make sure that we got death certificates and all that sort of thing. So.
Because they're not entitled to get the annuity, they're just entitled to the lump sum, right? The
right.
Pension.
Right. And then just, sometimes you'll hear from community members that, that we're underfunded. That's the unfunded pension liability that comes from the actuarial process. So that's a net present value of future payments over potential life expectancy of those participants. But it's not annuity payments that we make to those folks. So when they do leave employment, we do lump sum distributions. And so for our purposes, we're just ensuring that we have the net balance covered. And for book purposes, recording purposes, we do need to record that unfunded pension liability. But so if you ever have any questions regarding that, and currently the unfunded pension liability for June 30th, 2018 was $3.3 million. Anticipate that that will come down quite substantially when the actuarial study is completed this year, which should be done in July sometime, especially for our year-end financial audit reports.
Good. So I can approve the financial statements through there.
Add that, or if you want to do the
grant
schedule, and then you're done with the financials.
Any questions on the grant schedule? We have $12 million open. Kind of at CV Link.
And they're doing something now, right?
Yeah,
so we think.
Yeah.
You have till the end of the year to give away this money?
No. What is on this schedule is monies that have already been committed.
The open balance.
The 12 million is potential monies that would be paid out. So they're already committed to a prior budget.
I understand. Is there a time window working against that 12 million? Does that be dispersed by a certain time?
Yeah, I mean they're set up on
for the year
with each. With each grant, there's a schedule, payment schedule.
But
so,
is it an annualized?
It's an annual grant, then they will have that paid out within the year.
Are some of these grants multiple years?
Some are. You'll see most of them say 1 year, but you might see one that says two year, 3 year.
So theoretically, December 31st, that number should be zero or close to zero. That last column.
For what? Total grants.
Balance outstanding.
CV Link, they've had their grant expired in 5 years after 2013.
I see. Here's multiple.
And it's sitting there for 10 million.
Yeah, here's multiple year ones. I see.
With regard.
I've been trying to take it away, but everybody says we're going to beat up.
Every time they hear you say that, they do a little something just to kind of let you know that they're still doing.
Only to say, hey, maybe
like there were a lot of 1 year grants that were approved at the May. Meeting.
So those won't be paid out by December, but in theory they should be paid out by
over 12 months.
Right. Right.
Any questions on the grant schedule? Any further? All right. So now how about a motion for all the financial statements?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Great. Las Palmas Medical Plaza Architectural Services Street Design.
Okay, so I believe the committee might be aware that Stephen and I have been working with Chris Mills and contractor to do the fire sprinkler infrastructure at the Medical Plaza. That has required digging up the landscape there. I think most of you have seen over the last month that they've had piles of dirt, etc., having them all tore up. Initially, the plan was just to put it back as was. But further consideration and considering the, you know, the water conservancy and drought tolerant plant life, we would like to present to the committee an opportunity to upgrade that landscape to increase or put in the proper irrigation, as well as the plant life that's better tolerant for the heat. And the what we're proposing right here is just the landscape architect services. So they would create a design that would be ultimately brought back to the committee and the board, but it would get the process started so that the city could work through their process of approving a landscape plan, and then we would then have that bid out by a landscape. We'll put that out for an RFP process. So depending on what we're asking to do is the streetscape part as a separate component, so it would just be Techeva and Villarreal Mural Este, and then also a separate quote for the interior of the complex. We have had a few trees that we've lost due to drought conditions. There used to be grass in a lot of the areas where the trees are, and the grass was moved or removed because of the water conservant that we had to do 2-3 years ago. You know, we're having some issues with losing some trees, so we'd like to consider maybe making that landscape process better. This landscape architect is the one that did the landscape around the Sturgis building. So if you take a look at that, plus they have some other examples included here that, you know, could help make the building a little more appealing, and we just felt that this was a good opportunity to consider that. So what we're looking at right now is just for the streetscape purposes, and this is again just for the design, $10,000, interior landscape, another $18,000, not to exceed $28,000 to be able to get a design for that work. And then again later there would be an expense to actually do the installation, which at this point is just a guess, but on the exterior part could be $75,000, on up to $150,000 if we do the interior. That's just a guess, I have no idea, so just to throw a number out there.
So I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
My first question is, do we have funding for this, should we move forward with the design process?
I have budgeted some cash expenditure monies for work to be done over there to be utilized for this.
To cover this amount?
Correct.
Okay, my second question is, you said that for the construction you would get three bids. Did you get three bids for the design part
of it? On the professional fees part of it, we're not required to do that, so we can get that done with a professional firm to provide that.
I know Chris Mills is kind of expensive, but I know he's good, but he's expensive.
And this isn't Chris Mills.
I know that he was the one that recommended this company.
Right. And
by association, I think that he's expensive.
What do you mean by the word optional? Just for example, the master plan, I say the master plan is optional?
Well, the interior.
No, just stay with, we have all these things, they all say optional.
Well, if we choose to do. So if you look at the main one, the total fee, and then we're looking at page 34, that we initially were looking at the exterior part, the streetscape. And then we went back and asked them, and this was relatively short notice. We thought, you know, if we're doing the exterior, let's look at the interior as well and give that option. So they listed it all as optional.
All the options, okay.
So really it's a matter of whether the committee would like to do just the exterior or also consider the interior, which are all the optional items.
And the interior has been ripped up?
The interior has not.
It will be ripped up?
It would be if we go with the new landscape.
If we just finish the irrigation components, do you think interior will or will not be ripped up?
Not in the top part of this. But
it will be eventually.
If we do further work.
Okay.
That's why it's kind of referred to as the optional part, because if it's rejected, then nothing will happen to the interior, whereas depending
the outside
on
is necessary. Absolutely.
The outside, yeah, necessary. We could do something with it now, whereas we at minimum would need to put back what was there before.
Right.
And we could put it back to as was for probably about 10 to 15 grand, but it's not a pretty, there's a lot of aloe vera plants over there that really get burned in the summer months.
So it's really, we're really struggling. It's really to redo the master plan, the last game, for the property.
Yeah. And and it would certainly upgrade the appeal of the property. We are losing some trees interior wise and some plant life in there, and some of the valves, especially what we've discovered with when they have dug up the exterior of the streetscape. The valves are several years old, and so we have replaced some of those valves.
It's your recommendation to go forward with that?
I would recommend doing the whole thing. Would certainly, we have such a nice facility over there. The Spanish style buildings are very appealing. It appeals to not only the public, but for the medical providers and other services that are there.
Does our public status require competitive bidding
for this work? For the landscape,
but not for the design.
Not for the design.
Nice.
The professional fees we can go directly.
Nice. Thank you. Okay.
So even though we're not required to go for bid for professional fees, do you think we should?
We could. I talked with legal counsel about it. He believed that we were fine with the recommendation from Chris Mills, who was.
I think we should do the whole work, but I just think that we should get another day or another 2 days before we proceed. Even though we're not required to, I just think it would be the fiscal practice to do that. But I'm just wondering. And we're not in a hurry to do this. Do we have some urgency to get this going right now?
Part A.
Well, what we've done right now is we've just brought in a bunch of DG just to, keep the dirt blowing down. As regarding an urgency, I would say no. It's probably going to take a couple of months to get through the city approval, get the bids and all of that. So we were just kind of looking at being able to do that work during the summer,
right,
and then be able to get started with the landscape work.
If we were to get two other bids, probably add 30 days to...
Yeah, we could bring it back July.
It's a more conservative approach, less criticism.
I got no problem if you want to get more bids. Is that what we're at?
Two bids.
That's fine.
Yeah, that puts
So we'll table it and bring it back.
Great.
With bids.
And these pictures reflect what now?
These are just examples of what the landscape architect, the work.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Okay.
You're a very good neighbor. I'm not allowed there. All right. So our action on that is to just table it. So.
All right.
Well, to ask for two more bids and bring it back next month.
Table in. So two bids. One other thing that came to mind before we adjourn on this meeting, I should have done during the CEO part. We have been advertising for the community member application process. So the plan would be at the July meeting.
For here?
For the finance committee.
Dick Grundy wants to do it, by the way. Do you know Dick?
I don't know him.
Oh, my God. He asked Sid, who asked me. He's a former district director. Yeah.
Well, I mentioned to Sid, because I know he had mentioned, I said if you would just have Dick contact...
They're contacting
me.
And I'm going to send you his contact information.
If you would, we'll reach out to him.
And I apologize for being irresponsible.
But our plan would be to schedule those interviews on the July Finance Committee.
Have you gotten responses?
Actually, I've received 4 or 5.
Nice.
So that was my only other communication under the district.
Yeah, I needed to get this to you, and I don't. How do I point these guys? You can point wherever you want to point, but I probably should have done this a month ago. There you go. There's this information.
Okay.
And he knows how to count. He's been around the table doing our stuff.
That's a prerequisite.
And that's helpful. You picked the best person. Great. We got the foundation.
Yep.
All right.
So district is adjourned.
District adjourned. Foundation adjourned.
Foundation will just be the financials.
All right, that's good. There it is. Any questions on the financials?
So we have to do a call.
Can we approve the
order?
No minutes.
Your approval of the agenda. Public comment? No. Thank you. The minutes of May 14th.
Approved. So move to approve.
Second.
Fair. I see your report.
None on the foundation.
Financial statements. 4-8. 4-13.
You know, there's just several things with the foundation. You know, we budgeted for some guesstimates on some things. Not anything in a bad way, but we just, anticipated or potentially projected that we, especially like on 4003, the grants, we right at the time in June we were applying for a grant. And DB617 deal that was going on, which we were unsuccessful in getting. So all of that 250 wouldn't have been received. That plays down into the grant expense on line 8052.
On the bequest from Frederick Lowe, I know I've seen that before, but just kind of let it go. But is that a one time only?
No, we receive monthly royalties on the Frederick Lowe. So whenever Frederick Lowe's music is played.
Oh, he's a musician?
He wrote music, but he also didn't even play like Paint Your Wagon. There's some play that...
The other big one that's just reviving now is... my mind.
So at the time of his death,
royalties
30 years ago.
Wow.
That's
been around.
The estate, he left the money from these royalties that he gets for his books and his music.
Yeah.
And play for life. And so it's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good royalties after all those years.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks to the Late Night Movie Channel.
I'm going to have to research him.
Yeah. There used to be a picture.
So if they do a Broadway revival, we often call
it,
one.
It
jacks up the royalties.
Yeah, it should.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got some good stuff. Okay, so that's for any other financial related checks. Deposits.
Fairly minimal activity in the foundation.
Okay. special requests?
So moved.
What was the American Society of Composers?
That's the Frederick Law. That's Frederick Law.
Thank you.
Great questions, by the way.
Where is that located, what page? Let me see.
9 of 13.
13?
Page 9.
9 of 13?
Yes.
American Society of Composers.
So there's two or three, I think there's three that we actually get monies from.
Wow.
And some months can be, you know, fairly sizable months. This one's actually a pretty good sized one. Some of them are small.
Hey, a bunch of colleges picked up the show. That's great.
Somebody forgot to send the payment, huh? $35 late fee, really?
Comes off eternity, I guess, so.
No, it was bad in my transition with that, so.
Balance sheet, anything on the financial statements? I'm ready to take them all in if you are.
I'm okay.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, none. Okay, and then.
So there's no other agenda items?
No, Richard?
Thank you.
Thank you.